the thing I guess I would start with would be, if I said I was going to do something, I better make sure I do it.
As soon as your eyes and your body language leave the person you're meeting with and glance at your phone or glance at your computer, the quality of your language just went in the toilet.
That's good. It's a lot better than a poster up on the wall that says integrity or honesty with a guy playing basketball or some birds flying or whatever the picture may be.
When you're in the midst of chaos, your language betrays you.
I really like that. As I thought through this, I thought, I suspect there's a lot of leaders that can't even articulate that to themselves, let alone to a team of people.
I suddenly now am invited to two different things, and oh boy, I just would like to go punch a wall when someone does that.
I'm Jeff Custer, and you're listening to a freshly brewed episode of the First Cup of Joe Show, where we explore leadership principles that are tested and proven, uncover the obvious but not practiced, and use our experiences to lay a foundation for you to be an effective leader. Presented by Level Up Courses, a leadership development company with over 40 years of experience that's built to rid the world of toxic leaders.
Welcome back to the First Cup of Joe Show, brought to you by Level Up. I'm your host, Christian, here with my dad, Jeff, and my brother, Isaiah. This morning on the show, we're going to talk about the language of great leaders. And when you think about language, if you go to a place where you don't speak that language, how difficult is it to get around? How difficult is it to order food at a restaurant? How difficult is it to ask for directions or look at a sign and try to understand where you need to go? And that's the same in leadership, too. When your leaders and the people working for them don't speak the same language, it is very, very difficult to get anything done, be able to achieve the results that you want to achieve. So this morning on the show, we're going to talk about how you can get on the same page and be speaking the same language. Dad and Isaiah, as I said in the intro, we want to make sure that our employees and our leaders are speaking the same language, that when they converse, they understand what each other is saying. And it's not only what they say, it's how they say it, and who they say it to. Let's start breaking down different types of languages that leaders may use. Isaiah, I'm going to let you start. Do you have the number one language you would want a leader to speak?
I don't know. One of the things that we were looking at in preparing for this podcast was an article that came out from Forbes. It detailed 7 different types of languages that leaders use. And those 7 are direction, empathy, authenticity, quality, recognition, humility, and culture. It's hard for me to break those things down. I think in my career specifically, I've either lived in the nonprofit world or I've lived in like very corporate. I don't know how to explain that better. In a nonprofit world, you're working with small teams. You are likely very, very, very mission-driven. You're providing a service to the world, and what you are trying to accomplish every day is in service to that mission. You would think that the mission would be more central or more referenced, and in my experience, it really has not been. There's often some mission drift. I think in my specific career, what I would maybe like to see more of is a leader who can constantly be referring back to that mission statement as the main driver of why the employees are there to do what they're doing. Otherwise, what's the point? So maybe in a roundabout way, direction as one of those 7 things is what I want the most.
So when a task is assigned, or when you start a new project, or for you, you're doing a new show and you're looking to pick the show, or you're doing your specific task, You want the leader to be speaking about what they're asking you to do with the mission of the organization in mind.
Yes.
So we're doing this show because we believe XYZ, or we are servicing this client because we're going to help build this coffee shop because we believe in the mission of that coffee shop, and that also falls in line with our values as an organization and what we want to, the type of client we want to serve.
Yeah. In the theater world, there is, of course, you have to choose a show or a set of shows. Part of that is, who is the show about? What is the story that's being told? Who will we need to have in the room to be able to tell that story to the best of our ability? So there's all of those things that you have to keep in mind just for the stage. But there's also, we have to sell tickets. So where do we buy ads? Who do we think is going to want to come see this show? Do we have any community partners that we want to work with? Are there other nonprofits that might have a mission that ties into this specific show? Encompassing all of that is, how do the people in charge, the leadership level, communicate to employees the importance of why we are choosing to spend all of our time on it?
That's good. It's a lot better than a poster up on the wall that says integrity or honesty with a guy playing basketball or some birds flying or whatever the picture may be. But it kind of is similar to culture, where it would drive, that's your culture, that's your mission in everything that you do. Dad, what's your type of language that you like to communicate with?
Really good question. And Isaiah referred to this article that we took a look at, and they talk about different types of language. And as I reflected on this idea, seven types of language to me sounds like, oh, I'm gonna switch this one on and then switch this one off. So there's that aspect of this thought, but I actually feel it's more like, think about a diamond. And when they cut a diamond, you know, they cut different facets in the diamond. So it's one diamond, but it's got these different sides to it. And I really think the language that leaders use is, instead of this, like this pick and choose list, it's really the facets of a diamond. Your language is one, but there's different sides to it. I look at what Isaiah was talking about, I think, where people want to know where they're going. What are we trying to accomplish here? The language of a leader needs to be able to really clearly articulate that to others. As I thought through this, I thought, I suspect there's a lot of leaders that can't even articulate that to themselves, let alone to a team of people. And once you understand it yourself, now how can you bring the passion for that purpose and communicate that through your language to someone else? I think about this, Christian, that so many leaders get stuck in the minutiae of today, putting out the fire drill of today, that they never get to this type of language where they're casting this vision of where we're going and look how great it's going to be when we get there. That really is that facet of language where all the time that leader is encouraging, conveying passion to everyone around them about, here's where we're going and we're going to go there together. That direction is one facet of language that leaders sometimes can lose track of because they're so worried about what's happening right now.
One of the things that I just wrote down, when you're in the midst of chaos, your language betrays you.
I really like that.
And I'm saying betray because I think, Dad, what you were just saying, when you're in the day-to-day and you're dealing with the fires in a leadership position, you're not necessarily always considering how you're responding to people. How are you responding to that Slack or that Teams message that comes in when you have a minute left that's free on your calendar and then you're going into meetings for the rest of the day?
Yeah.
How are you responding when that outside contractor sends back a quote or an estimate that is $5,000 more than you were planning to spend and will take three times as long to produce? And then you have to either sell that to the team or say, fix this, change it around. A great leader is going to prove their mettle when they are in that everyday chaos, fire, even if nothing is going wrong. It's how you're responding and speaking, and maybe what you're not saying, to the people who work for you every day that really shows your true values.
Related to that, Isaiah, another facet to me of this leadership language that we would want to see in great leaders is the second one you had listed earlier around empathy. I read some article the other day. I see a lot of articles about employees complaining about leadership. And this particular person was saying that their wife's grandmother or somebody had died. And the language of the leader was, do you really need to take the day off? Because it was just a grandmother of your spouse. So listen to that language. I'm reading that and I'm thinking about this facet of language around empathy. That do you seek to understand? What's going on with the people around you? I like the saying, do you walk a mile in their shoes? Does your language, the language that you use, show that you really care about people? And that particular article was just exactly the opposite of that. The language was just horrible. If you want to drive employees away and disengage them, your language sounds like that. Well, it was just a distant relative. Maybe to you as the leader, that's true. Maybe it's like, well, I didn't really care for that person. You know, if they were in my family, you never know how close, you know, maybe they were really close to some uncle or some other relative. You don't know that until you seek to understand. And so oftentimes you hear language from leaders that really displays no level of empathy.
Something I struggle with. I'm not always great at that. I know that. I think the mentality that the get over it mentality is what gets in the way of that.
Yeah.
It's, yep, that happens. Life happens. Just move on. I'm guilty of that one.
And while for you, maybe it is easier to do that, it isn't for everyone. And so that's why I like, you know, leaders to really think about walking in someone else's shoes. What are they feeling? What are they experiencing? And having your language, you know, flavored that way. When you're speaking, it comes across, I do care about you. I might not think that, but I do care about you and what you're going through. Another facet that we can talk about is being authentic when you speak. When you say something, do people believe you? And one of my employees many years ago, Christian, bought me this BS button. We just would have team meetings. We'd have our team in a conference room and we'd be on some conference call with somebody else. Maybe they were presenting or we were part of some larger group. So many times people would say things and we'd all look at each other and just roll our eyes like, okay, I heard you say that, but I'm not buying it for a second. It was kind of just a fun thing we did with our team. We'd bring that button in and have the phone on mute. And it had like four or five sayings that, you know, you could call BS.
I want that.
I know. And one of the times when I moved, last times I moved offices, I lost it. So I don't have it anymore. But it's really about, do people believe you when you speak? Do they trust you? Or do they find you being like, you know, the politicians in Washington, D.C., where you're spinning everything? People want to know the truth. And even if it's bad news, they still want to know. This is where you start taking the two facets, being authentic and being empathetic, and you start rolling those together. Because if you have bad news to tell, you want to tell people, but you want to do it in an empathetic way. You know, it's not everybody likes getting hit between the eyes with bad news. You need to have some skill around how do I communicate? What's my language like that I can deliver the truth so people believe me, but I'm empathetic while I'm doing it?
So one of the things that you just said was talking about a leader who has lost the trust of the people. When they speak, people don't believe them. You're a leader who is in the situation where people don't believe you when you speak. Okay. How do you bounce back from that? What do you change so that people start to believe what you say again?
I'm curious, Christian, what you have to say. I mean, you're talking about rebuilding trust.
That's a terrible place to be. If you're at that point, man, you've done. But if you're at that point and you realize it, that's first thing you got to do is realize it, that people don't believe you, that they're full of it. And when you say something, they have no respect for you, they completely disregard whatever comes out of your mouth. The thing I guess I would start with would be, if I said I was going to do something, I better make sure I do it.
That's exactly what I was going to go with, Christian, is do what you said you were going to do. That's a good place to start.
but it's going to take a long time for people to be able to confidently say, yeah, he said he was going to do that. So I do trust that he was going to do that.
And they're skeptical.
And they're going to be skeptical for a long time, maybe forever. You can tell when somebody just has no respect for somebody else talking.
Turn on the news and you watch politicians spinning things. And you're watching them and you just shake your head while you watch them because you know it is just total BS. And then they stand there with a straight face and do that. Well, if that's what you do as a leader, it's going to be incredibly difficult to recover from that. Probably the best advice is don't get yourself in that spot to start with. Make sure that you maintain that trust so that when you say things, not only are you believable, you want to be more than just believable, because you could be lying and come across as believable. You got to be authentic in that what I say is what I mean, and I'm not going to BS you.
Our Level Up method helps growing companies unlock 100% of their team's performance potential by creating a leadership culture that leaves every team member feeling engaged, excited, and encouraged to bring their A game. All while equipping your next generation of teams to increasingly exceed targets every quarter. Visit levelupcourses.co to learn more. That's levelupcourses.co. And now, back to the show.
Another one I can see happening, and I think I've probably been guilty of this one, is quality of your language. And it's not just what you're saying. So I think sometimes when we think of language, it's only speaking, but think about your body language, nonverbal actions. And think about having a meeting with someone and you're in your office. They're sitting across maybe your desk from you. You get your computer there, your phone sitting on the desk, and you're having that conversation with them and the notification bell rings on your phone or the little notification pop-up comes up on your computer. You got a new email. I want everybody to really pay attention to this, because as soon as your eyes and your body language leave the person you're meeting with and glance at your phone or glance at your computer, the quality of your language just went in the toilet.
I did that to somebody the other day, and I realized that as I was doing it, it felt terrible.
Leaders, if you're in that situation, it's just tempting, because all the dings and bells and stuff, we've trained ourselves to react to those things. If that's a problem for you, shut your phone off, turn your computer off, focus on that person. It made me think, Isaiah, of a scene in a movie, a movie I really like, The Devil Wears Prada. It's an old, older movie, but there's a point in the show where the boyfriend of the main actress, she's, beholden to her boss. She jumps at every whim of her boss. And she has this boyfriend, and they're standing there, and her phone rings, and it's the boss. And she's having this serious discussion with her boyfriend, and she looks at her phone, and it's her boss. And the guy says to her, the one you answer is the relationship you're in. And I think that applies so much to the quality aspect, the quality facet of language that leaders use. When you're talking with someone and you're engaged with them and you're truly listening, when you break away to look at your phone or computer, you broke that relationship.
Totally. Christian said that he did it. I've done it recently and it sucked. I felt really bad.
The other thing that I think of, that I'm probably guilty of this in the past, we really encourage people to do one-on-ones with their employees. If you're a leader, you should never cancel the one-on-one because you're busy doing something else, because I want you to think about the message that sends to that person. It's like, well, I got something else that's more important than you. And you start getting in the habit of doing that, and all of a sudden you're telling the team you're not really very important, and the quality of your language really falls apart.
Man, that's true. Not even just your one-on-ones. I think that's my opinion. That's true for any meeting or appointment that you make. Some things come up, but
yeah,
you set an appointment, and I'd do about anything I can to make sure I'm there.
I've been around people before that just have this air of busyness around them. I've had bosses like that before, where you can just tell that they don't really care about you because they're busy doing something else. Even if they stop to talk to you, they're glancing at their watch.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have something more important than you to do. And it's really easy to pick up and say, okay, I guess I know where I stack up in this deal. So leaders, the quality of your language, both verbal and the nonverbal, are so critical. It's a critical facet for you to have a great language with the people around you.
You know what's been getting me fired up lately?
Oh, let's go.
Dad mentioned meetings and not canceling them, which made me think of, I really hate when someone schedules a meeting with me but doesn't look at my calendar, and I already have a meeting scheduled. So I suddenly now am invited to two different things, and oh boy, I just would like to go punch a wall when someone does that, which sounds so like overblown, but it's so disrespectful, I think.
And the tools that you use, Isaiah, they could go look.
They could. It shows up.
Yeah, exactly. So disrespectful. And so the quality of that language, even like I said, there's no spoken words there. Their actions are a type of language. And what that says is, I'm more important than you and whatever else you got going on.
Exactly. And oh, does that ruffle my feathers.
I'm curious, Isaiah, how you're responding to those. My response might be to try to remain diplomatic and say, oh, you know, can we move this around? But I've had colleagues before just like decline. If you don't have the courtesy to look at my schedule and see that I already have something going on, I'm not going to pay you any courtesy back. And I probably don't tend to respond that harshly. So I'm curious how you've responded in those situations.
You know, I think I would love to be the person that would just decline, but I think I'm too aware of office politics.
Yeah.
And understand that it can be a game of...
And maybe it depends on who's sending you the meeting request.
And that's exactly it. It's a measuring contest sometimes, I think, in terms of who is sending you that request. And that does impact what I say yes to. Just this week, I said yes to a second meeting request and need to move the original meeting that I had scheduled.
If you're experiencing something like that, and it's coming from maybe your boss or someone higher in the organization, especially your boss, hopefully you have a good relationship with that person that at a one-on-one, you can bring that up as a feeling that you have. It's like, well, I feel like you really aren't respectful of my time when you do this.
Mm-hmm.
And just to try to raise their awareness, because they need to listen to this podcast and improve the facets of their language. Christian, I think another facet of language really revolves around who gets the credit. I used to work with some leaders that really strongly had the opinion that recognizing somebody in their organization was not only unnecessary, but a real waste of time if that person was just doing their job. I just, in my opinion, I don't think they could have been more wrong. Even if people are just doing their job, are you taking time to celebrate those successes? You know, the big ones and the little ones. Do you have a language of recognition? Do you compliment people for what they do? Little stuff and big stuff. Or do you have that mindset? It's like, well, I'm only going to recognize them when they do some monumental thing.
That's a big one. It always has been for me personally. I know I have worked for people before that have been on both sides. One where they're, you know, overly grateful for what you do, and the other side where you couldn't pay them to say thank you to you. Boy, it makes a difference. Even when it just seems like it's what that person is supposed to be doing, they're still giving a lot of effort and they're still showing up every single day, and they are there for, especially if you're in a small organization, or you know you're working directly for the owner of the company and you know they're the one really benefiting from the work you're doing, you obviously benefit too, but a simple thank you goes a long ways.
May I think about this one, Christian, as you go back through some of the other ones we talked about? You want to have this language of direction, where we're going. And when you combine that with a language of recognition, all of a sudden you're telling that person in your organization, hey, great job, because what you just did helps us get to where we want to go.
Yep.
When you go to that employee and say, I really appreciate that you got that weekly report done. Even though you do it every week, I really appreciate it because we need that to get where we're going. And it tells that person, I do really care about you. I care about what you're doing. I notice what you're doing. That's why I thought of this as like a diamond, where it's not a whole bunch of separate things you switch on and off. They're all facets of one language.
I used to work at a manufacturing plant, and every morning, the general manager of the plant, highest top dog in the place, would walk around and say good morning to all 300 employees over there.
Yep.
And it would take him a couple hours every morning. A lot of people would look at that and say, wow, what a waste of time.
Yeah. But
then you have 300 people that are excited to be at work and want to be there for the guy that's in charge, and would then go above and beyond just simply because he took the time to say good morning.
Yeah, versus him sitting in the office and people wondering, I wonder what he does all day. Uh-huh. He has his feet up on the desk drinking coffee, which probably wouldn't be true. But when he's out there walking the floor, just think of the language. Again, unspoken, but think of the language that conveys to all 300 of those people.
It sets the tone for the culture. That is a leader who is driving a culture that they want.
You know, one other comment about recognition that at least leaders, I think, should consider is it might be worth taking your time to find out how individuals prefer to be recognized. Some people love the idea of being called up in front of a group and, you know, getting a trophy or a pat on the back or whatever. Other people are terrified at that. And if you do that, actually is disengaging to them. Leaders, take some time to find out what are your preferences of the people that you're going to recognize, so that you can try to do the best you can at recognizing them in a way that they find really valuable. Another one, Christian, this one probably is one of my biggest pet peeves, gets to be around humility. And as a leader, does your language portray you as being humble? I say this in, does the team get credit for the success, or do you get credit for the success? And I know I've heard you say this before, that the language you'd prefer with your team is that the team gets credit for the success and you as the leader take the blame when things don't go so well.
That's how it should be, right? Or it sounds good on paper.
Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, I like, it's how it should be. Maybe not so easy to put in practice, but is that the language that people hear you talking? Hey, great job, team. Even if it's something you did and they helped, are they getting the credit? When you're talking to other people in the organization, are you giving your team credit or are you taking the credit? That's a language that you portray. And especially on the other side, when things don't go so well, are you quick to blame others? Well, my fault, must have been Isaiah's fault.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And to me, this is where it gets to be the pet peeve part for me is, who is your language focused on? I want to talk about pronouns that leaders use, not the goofy ones about what your orientation is, but the pronouns that leaders use about why things are getting done. Do you hear yourself saying I, me, and my? Or do you hear yourself saying we, us, and our? As for one of my biggest pet peeves, when I hear leaders talking about things that are focused on them, my budget, it's my team, my people, it just drives me nuts, because that language to me says that it's all about them. It's not all about us.
I'd add to that concept too, Dad, where leaders have a chance when you're at a trade show or you're working with people outside of your organization, or even within your organization, but they're at a much higher level and you know, you're a lowly employee. Does your leader take the time to introduce you to different people and take the time to invite you to the table when they go out to eat? Or are you just pushed to the side and say, stay out of the way? It's a small thing, but it makes a big difference if you can just shake the hand of the CEO, or you get to meet so-and-so, but if your leader is trying to protect those relationships, and they feel the need to be the only one that could talk to that partner or that other person and not let you in on that. That's a good way to disengage your employee.
Yeah, who's the language focused on? Is it on you or is it on others? That's probably one of the things that just, it's like fingernails on a chalkboard to me when I hear leaders use the wrong language here.
I was at a trade show one time and had met this partner that it was the last night of the show, and he had invited my boss to go out to eat. I had met the partner a couple times and talked to him on the phone, and I had a pretty good relationship with him. I don't know that my boss necessarily knew that, but I had built a pretty good relationship with this guy. They were going out to eat, and my boss said to me, "You can go somewhere nice, but there's probably not room for you to come with us. So go get a nice meal for yourself."
At that point I just had to laugh,
but I just thought to myself, if I went and asked this other guy that invited you to go, I guarantee you he would say, "Oh yeah, come with," and I would go to him directly. A good example of this where I was pushed to the side in a roundabout way told, "No, you're not important enough to come."
All these facets we've been talking about really come together and make a diamond. You know, the facets all make up the diamond, and all these facets of language really come together and shape your culture. That your culture is really a mash together of all these different language characteristics that we talked about and how things happen in your organization. It really is going to shape your culture. You know, if you guys know, you know, anything about diamond cutting, of course, I'm not going to claim to be an expert on diamond cutting, but if a diamond's not cut right, you don't get that color and the reflection from all those facets to make it the most beautiful diamond that you can if it's not cut well. Well, this language, these facets of language are no different. They all come together, and if they're put together the right way, you end up having this great culture. And if you don't have great language, the culture is going to be pretty toxic.
The four C's of diamond cutting, Dad.
What is that?
Color, clarity, and carrots.
There you go.
You must have not been getting engaged anytime soon.
It's been a while.
If there's a leader out there who is unsure how their language might be affecting their team, their business, their culture, what should they do next?
Listen to themselves talk.
Yeah, I think that's a great place to start, Christian. You step back outside yourself and listen to yourself right in the moment. Start to train your ear to listen to yourself. What does your language sound like? Christian, I think the next step is, especially with people on your team that you have a really solid relationship with that are willing to give you honest feedback, you ask. You take this list of things we talked about and you ask, "How am I doing? Where could I get better?"
And then maybe if you're also unsure, you should email us at Level Up and we would be happy to help you.
I knew you're going to make a plug, Isaiah.
Yeah, well, exactly. Because, you know, while I still advocate the first two, another avenue, we would come in and just put our ear to the ground and listen and hear what these different facets of language sound like when we're around you. And we could certainly give that same type of feedback on where things are going really well and where you could improve.
Thanks for grabbing a cup of Joe with us. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to rate it. And while you're at it, subscribe or follow the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you're listening from today. Then you can head on over to levelupcourses.co and schedule a time to get on the horn with us. You'll want to grab a free 30-minute session if you're a new leader and feel overwhelmed by your new role, if you're a seasoned leader encountering a new problem, or if today's topic resonated with you and you want to dive deeper. We want to help you be a great leader. And today's the day to start. So visit us at levelupcourses.co to schedule your free session. And as always, keep your mornings early, your coffee cup full, and keep leveling up.